I would like to be able to say that because of my faith in Jesus, my heart is not troubled. Because that's what Jesus says in today's gospel. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith in me. But I suspect I'm not that much different than many in this world with a troubled heart. We look all around us, and there is such brokenness. There's such brokenness, really. There's brokenness in our society. We simply are losing the ability to sit down and to talk with each other in a civil manner. Too often, we have decided that the tribe that we belong to, however that gets defined, is the most important thing. That as long as our tribe is winning, everything is fine. But when we look around, we see that everything is not fine. Even if our tribe is winning, it's not fine. On a secular level, we are increasingly unable to solve even the simplest of problems without big fights. And even then, we don't seem to be moving any closer to agreement with one another. Take a look at the brokenness in our society, of which there is so much. While certainly it's an issue here, it's really an issue everywhere. Look at the gun violence in our country. Regardless of what one feels about the solution or the reasons or so forth, we can all agree, I would hope, that its existence and the amount of its existence, the amount of gun violence that we see, is really not appropriate. People are getting shot these days for showing up at the wrong house. There was a couple of years ago, I think, somebody who was shot at a fast food place because the fast food wasn't satisfactory. That's brokenness. But we know there's even more brokenness. We look around at our world and there's poverty and there's difficulties and there are people who don't have the basic needs of life. We look around at our world and there are people who go without health care and dental care and food. We look around in our life and we see that relationships are broken and difficult and terrible. We know that sometimes the very relationships we counted on don't last, either because they become broken themselves or because the people that we journey through life with no longer live with us, either because they're geographically separate or because they have died. We know that there is lots of illness and disease in our midst. We look around and we see poverty and oppression, and we look beyond our country and we see war and difficulty. I could mention Ukraine and Haiti, which is essentially in a state of anarchy, and Sudan, where there's been such horrible civil war, but we know that the violence in our world is not limited to those countries. How is it that we can look forward without trouble, without having troubled hearts? And there is one more thing that perhaps is most specific to the church here in the Archdiocese of St. Louis, that whatever is ultimately going to be the plan released in 3 weeks, there's going to be brokenness. There's going to be the grief and longing of a parish that may no longer exist, or a circumstance or situation that is different or difficult. We may see an institution that we have become very fond of, that we have contributed to, where people have given, our relatives, our ancestors have made such great efforts to build and to create. There's going to be brokenness. And so, when we look at this gospel, this first line that we hear Jesus say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," we can be tempted to say, "Well, that's easy for you to say. You're the divine Son of God." But what about us who are facing all of these difficulties? What are we supposed to make of a world that is filled with such brokenness? And yet, it is the invitation that has always been present. It's the invitation to a relationship with Jesus. because our hearts will never be untroubled if we ignore the grace of God. If we recognize that our world will never be any different unless we cooperate with that grace to live the way that Jesus wants us to live, to be the kinds of people and disciples that Jesus wants us to be. We see in the first reading that the community of believers had to adapt to new situations. And they had to adapt to a lot of them, things they didn't anticipate. This idea of the church needing to adapt and change and grow is not new. It's been around for the whole history of the church. Right here in the very early, in the sixth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, they're confronted with a problem that they really haven't had to deal with in the same way before. Namely, that the needs that are being fulfilled are not being done so evenly. There are some that appear not to be given what it is that they deserve as poor widows. They didn't have the situations we have today. If they were going to survive and they had no family, it was going to be this new church that was going to meet those needs. And they do. They create the diaconate. They create a ministry, quite frankly, while it says that the apostles don't want to neglect the preaching of the word, the disciples also, or the deacons rather, are also engaged in the preaching of the word. We know that's what Stephen does. He's created a deacon today. We don't ever really see him helping the widows, but we do get long encounters of him preaching the word. And the church has had to do this so often, over and over again, that there is a need, there is a way in which Jesus is calling us to meet more fully the needs of the church. And what we're preparing for in the midst of this is to see that we are not on our own as we face these new challenges. The Holy Spirit is being poured out to us. You know, if we were to look at the Bible and to understand what it is that is going on, what is happening, it's that over the history of the Bible, the fullness of the revelation of God is being given to us. It's not that God wasn't the Son in the Old Testament. It wasn't that the case that the Holy Spirit didn't exist until Pentecost. But our understanding of who God is became full as our relationship with God deepened and as the church began and grew. It really, though, is up to us. The laity in the church have been given a unique and, quite frankly, powerful role theologically in the church. There are things, says the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that laity can do that no one else can do. You can be in places that, quite frankly, clergy and religious can't be. You can bring the kingdom of God to circumstances that may seem on the surface to be completely secular. You can bring the kingdom to people who long to hear the word of God. And quite frankly, because of your baptism, the things that you do can be offered to God in great measure and hope and holiness. And I don't mean like, okay, you're going to decide tomorrow to go off to Africa. As wonderful as that would be if that's where God wants you to be, I mean in making a loving meal for your family. That's an offering to God. In loving the people who have been placed in your life, your spouse, your children, that's an offering to God. To thinking about the job that you do and how you can do it in a way that brings the kingdom of God more clearly into the lives of people, that's an offering to God. And so today, as we hear Jesus tell us not to let our hearts be troubled, let us see what it is that he shows us that helps us. He gives us the gift of himself, the way, the truth, and the life. And that presence of the Godhead, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is enough for all of us.